we'll pray for them. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Oh, I understand. Yeah, yeah. Well, we've got lots of missionary friends, and that's a real struggle at times to get those kind of things done. Yeah, yeah. Miss Melanie? What's her last name? Sarah Stewart. She live in Ohio, or she live? Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. Pray for them. Yes, ma'am. All right. All right. We'll pray for Miss Doris. Doris Caudill is awaiting information about back surgery, so we'll pray for her. All right. 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 Good. Good. Yeah. He said Harry Klutz. They went and saw Harry, and he's having trouble with his foot and can't walk on it. And then, but he said he saw Ray, and he's doing well. So, all right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're grateful to be able to come before you. We recognize that it's only in the name and through the blood of Jesus that we stand before you and are welcomed there. And Lord, we're so grateful for that welcome. We're grateful that we can come boldly before your throne of grace, that we can bring our petitions before you. And Lord, that you love us and that you want us to cast our burdens on you because you care for us. And so, Lord, we're grateful for all of this opportunity and access that we have in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, we come in that way and we bring these so many folks who are in different kinds of situations, family members and church members and new friends and old friends. And Lord, we just bring them all to you today. I pray for Nathan and Katie Brooks and their child. I pray that you'd minister to them. Thank you for a safe delivery. I pray that you'd strengthen this child. Lord, I just pray that you would encourage mom and dad and their families. Lord, just bless this family. Father, for Miss Carolyn's brother and sister, Jim and Judy, Lord, I pray that you'd minister to them. I thank you that they're getting better little by little, but Lord, I pray you'd watch over them. Be with Miss Carolyn as she cares for them and watches over them. God, I just ask that you would strengthen this family. And Lord, I thank you for Miss Pamela's family, the Uten family. I lift them up to you, and I ask that you'd minister. Lord, I recognize that they're in a difficult spot with Kevin and his emotional trauma that he bears. Lord, I pray that you would show them an answer, surround them with people that would be able to help encourage them. Lord, I pray for Michael as he's worried for his older brother. I pray that you'd strengthen him. Lord, I just pray your blessing on this family. Lord, I pray for Miss Becky Freeman, and I thank you for the news of her success and coming along. I pray that you'd strengthen her, and Lord, take away the pain that she has. God, I pray that you'd encourage her. Lord, I thank you that she's such an encouragement to us. Lord, I thank you that she said that she loves her church. And Lord, that's just a good testimony. And so, Lord, I pray you'd bless her. Father, I pray that you would be with Mike Derry's friend Chelsea, who's just had this baby, missionary to Africa. Lord, I pray that they would have the doors open. Lord, you turn the hands of kings. Lord, you can make governments do what you want. Lord, I pray that you would smooth the way for this baby to be able to have the visa to go back to Africa. Lord, I pray your blessing on this family. Lord, I pray for Melanie's niece, Sarah Stewart, and I ask that you'd minister to her. Give the doctors wisdom, whether this is lupus or some other disease. I pray that you'd show them what to do and when to do it and how to do it. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage her all the while. Lord, heal her. And Father, we pray for Carol Hitch's cousin, David and son Chad. I pray that you'd minister to Chad as he's lost his mother so suddenly. I pray that you'd bless this family, allow them to make the right decisions and encourage their hearts during this time of difficulty. For Sister Doris Caudill, Lord, I pray that you'd minister to her. Lord, give the doctors wisdom as they schedule her surgery, and I pray that you'd safeguard her all the way through it. I pray that this would be a relief to her and that it would strengthen her. And then, Lord, I pray for Harry and Rena Klutz. I pray you'd minister to them. I thank you for their love for you and, Lord, their love for one another and just the longevity of life that you've given them, especially Brother Harry. And, Lord, I pray that you'd minister to his feet and legs. I pray you'd give him strength. Lord, we're grateful to hear about his brother Ray and ask that you'd minister to him as well. Lord, we're so thankful to be able to bring all these things to you. We ask that you'd watch over us now and guide us and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Thank you all for praying with me. And thank you for supplying the requests that we have as well. Tonight, before I start our 2020 section, I need to ask you all. Well, no, I'm not going to ask you a question. I'm just going to tell you some good news. And after I tell you some good news, you got to pay attention, though. Okay? So what I'm saying is going to get you all a Twitter, and I don't want you all a Twitter. I want you to participate. All right? But here's what's going to put you all a Twitter. Today, our directories came in. And so they are here. And if your pastor can be done quickly enough, we are going to pass them out at the end of tonight. And so I'm going to try. What we're going to do, choir, if I can do it, if I can do this now, y'all are just going to have to bear with me if I can. If I can do this tonight, we're going to put one of our ladies on this side and one of our ladies on this side, and all of our choir members will go that way towards choir, and get your directory on the way. And all of the rest of us will go this way and get our directory over here. Okay, so all we're going to have you do is sign above your name. They've Xeroxed some. Oh boy, that dated me, didn't it? We've copied, we've copied pages, and they're going to be there. And you'll just sign over your picture. That way, we know it's just one per family that sat for the pictures. And we have to be very tight-fisted with them until we get them all passed out. So you'll understand that if we're hawkish about this, it's because we have to make sure everybody gets one. But y'all being here on Wednesday night, you get a bonus. You get to get yours first. And so that's going to happen tonight. Tonight we are wrapping up this first section of our 2020 vision, which is really talking about the kingdom concept. If you know anything about computers, what we've done up till this point is all in the operating system. It's all in the background. It's what actually drives us. So when we talk about all of the different things that we've talked about, we're talking about the nuts and bolts of who we are, where we are, and how we've been resourced. After this week, we're going to begin working on what you actually see, so what's on a monitor. So we're going to be talking about things that really communicate who we are. Now, this we haven't really, you say, well, we haven't accomplished much. What you'll start seeing, hopefully tonight, is some of the ways that all these things that we've talked about over 12 weeks, tonight's the 12th week, how all these things start working together, and hopefully you get a good picture. So that's where we are tonight. If you have your Bibles and would like to open them, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, it's the Sermon on the Mount, and I want to read this passage to you, and then we're going to do right up front a practical exercise. Okay, so you put your thinking caps on. I'm going to read this to you, and then we're going to do a practical exercise together. So here is the passage, Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse number 13 and read through verse number 16. God's word says this: "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So everything that we're talking about from the last 12 weeks, this night, and then forward, we're talking about how are we going to be this salt, this light, starting here in Concord, Cabarrus County, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. So that's what we're talking about. We're trying to figure out how are we going to glorify God and make disciples of all the nations. So that's what we're trying to get to. As part, Dan, are you here? Will you turn on these lights so when I write up here, everybody can see? So the first exercise, and this is, you're going to be like, oh no, I don't want to do this. But I want you to do this. I want you to help. And I'm going to take several of you volunteers. We're going to take 2 minutes. And I want you, thank you, Dan, on a piece of paper or in your own mind, I want you to explain our church in 10 words or less. All right? Explain our church in 10 words or less. Go. All right? You can think, you can write it down. In a few minutes, I'll ask for examples. So 10 words or less. This is a discipline type thing. Explain our church. 10 words or less. Do I need to hum the Jeopardy theme? By the way, if you don't like this, welcome to my world. When you look in my office and see me thinking hard, this is what I'm thinking about. Our church, 10 words or less. You went over 10? Yeah. once you get however many words you have, then whittle it down. Edit. Anybody want to give it a try? Anybody still working? By the way, anybody still working and you don't want? All right, Dan, you want to give it a try? That's good. Community of Christ followers. Loving God and others. Very good. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You put an A right here. 9 words. Very good. Yes, ma'am. Ms. Kathy. Say that again. You said service and mission minded. Mission minded. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Well, I got rid of the first ones for you, so I tried to help. All right. Very good. Very good. Somebody else? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Carolyn? God filled. God. Say that again. God-filled. Loving, right, church, God-filled and loving church, dedicated to God's glory. I cut it down for you. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, very good. Okay, that's good. Somebody else? John. Bible teaching. Bible believing. All right, good. I saw another hand. Yes, ma'am. We'll do one more every day and every way. That sounds preacher-ish. Every day and every way. I can remember that. Anybody else? Pam? All right, a church. That's very good. A church that welcomes. Open arms, no matter who you are. All right, very good. I'll do one more. One more. Mike? All right. Brothers and sisters in Christ, reaching the world Jesus. All right, very good. Thank you for that. Well, you'll have maybe one more chance. I may delay it till next week. To do one more thing. This is good. This is the beginning of us describing who we are and what we do. Now, this is just explaining us. What we're going to get to eventually is taking everything that we learned about us in the kingdom concept and boiling it down to talk about how we glorify God and make disciples. All right, now some of that is written into this already. You just, in our describing ourselves, we're already beginning to grab hold of this kind of concept of who we are. Now you may ask this question, all right, Pastor Jim, what does it even matter? How does this affect what we do? Because what we need to do is we need to be able to see who God has made us to be in this place to glorify Him and to make disciples and then maximize it. Then do everything we can to do the best. I sold a house 2 years ago. Praise the Lord. Well, y'all prayed for us to do that. Everything we did, all the pictures that were taken about our house, all the cleanup and the attention that we gave to put that house to show, everything was done to accentuate the good stuff. And then to, in the case of a house, to hide the bad stuff, right? So you want people to see all the good stuff, and you don't tell them about when it rains, all the mud goes into the pool every single time. All right, they found that out soon enough, but that was not our business to tell them. And so they should have asked. But anyway, that's been a long time. A lot of water under that bridge and over the wall and into the pool. And so So that's what we did. And the same way with anything, any organization, you accentuate your strengths and you shore up your weaknesses. Well, in this case, what we've done is not really talked about weaknesses and strengths. What we've done is say, this is how God has put us together, and this is where we're this is how we highlight those things. This is how we do the best with those things. And by the way, lots of these words that are here, lots of these words capture who we are. Those are really good. We'll do this part if we have time at the end. If not, we'll get to it next week. So how are we going to show off this light that God has put inside of us? Because Jesus tells us that we're to let this light shine before people so that they will see those good works. They'll see this light, this way that Jesus is using us. They'll see that and they'll glorify not us, but God. And so the purpose is for us to show how God has changed us so that we can then give Him glory, so that people see and give Him glory. So that's where we're headed. And if we get there today, if we don't, that's okay. I know y'all are wanting those directories, so I want to keep an eye on that too. So when we've talked about all this time, we've talked about our kingdom concept. It's a simple, clear, big idea that defines how we'll glorify God and make disciples. That's what that says. First Baptist Concord glorifies God and makes disciples by. Eventually, we want to have something that's written right there that says this is how we do it. This is the way that we're going to do it. And so, again, we'll be clear. I love the word emulate, but it won't be in our kingdom concept, because one of the things that we're going to do is it's going to be clear, it's going to be concise, and it's got to pass the third grader test. Does anybody know what a third grader test is? It means that the third grader should be able to read it and know what we're talking about. So emulate is a great, strong, wonderful word that we probably won't use in our, because a third grader, well, maybe some third graders, but not all third graders would know that test. So anyway, that's where we're headed. Let's keep moving. That should look familiar. Now, I'm not asking you to read it because I'm about to show you those words, but I want you to understand that there's a link between what we all did in here over these last 12 weeks when I wrote down all of these different things that we talked about. And there's a link between that and what I'm about to show you. We haven't just done these things to let them go away. We've done them, and I've captured them on film. Well, not on film, on digits. That's twice I've done that. I've captured, I'm getting close to 50, y'all, and it's just showing. So, ma'am. Yeah, I'm sorry. You have it. and so we have these. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're back and on top of your game. That's wonderful. And so so these are the things we did. I just transferred them onto the next slide. So we're talking about our local predicament. What is this area, this context that we do church in, or rather we are the church in? So what is this place that we shine our light? Well, these are things that we talked about. A transitioning economy. I told y'all last week, it was a surprise, but just last week I heard the stat that Concord, Cabarrus County, is number 16 in the nation for the fastest growing economy. Number 16, that's pretty incredible. The quick thing that I heard attributes it to we're taking on the kind of the bedroom community aspect of Charlotte. And so that's what they attributed it to quickly. But we have a transitioning economy. We talked about 40 years ago, 30 years ago, we were still a mill town or a mill community with bunches of mills. We had the tobacco company or the tobacco factory going. It's not R.J. Reynolds, Philip Morris, that's it. Y'all have, excuse me, it wasn't in existence when I was here, and so I try to remember those, but I don't know it like you know it. And now we're transitioning, we're becoming a different kind of economy. We have two or three Amazon fulfillment centers in our area, just booming. Transportation over on that side of town, hubs, transportation hubs and all kinds of things. Still a little bit of a race community, but lots of different things. So transitioning economy. we have both poverty and affluence intermingled in our area. You don't have to drive very far to see very, very, very expensive houses, and you don't have to drive very far to see folks who are living in poverty. And it's all within, if you took a circle and did a 3-mile radius around our church, you would encompass all of those things, both very affluent. So that's an intermingling. And by the way, that takes some strategy to be able to minister in both of those areas and to do it well. We talked about drugs, alcohol, the effects of those on families, the jail increasing its size, all of those things we mentioned. Broken families, we talked about marriages, single-parent homes, grandparents rearing children, all of that is all around us in our area. And then also we talked about a distorted view of the gospel, bad doctrine, bad practices, and in bad practices it is people know the truth, they just don't live it, and then bad models that in front of them. So all of those things, we don't necessarily live in a gospel-less community like many places are now in America, where there's no sign of God or in the community, no culture. We still have lots of that culture, but not all of that culture is good culture. Some of that culture is bad culture. People who have seen their grandfathers or their fathers who are deacons run around on their moms, and you know, just all the negative things, those bad models that we have. And so this kind of defines the area that we live in. So our local predicament is there. And by the way, remember, I'm going to end up erasing this, but remember what we're doing is we're doing what's called a Venn diagram, and we're trying to find out where all this overlaps right there in the middle. So the local predicament would be here, all of these things. We're going to talk about who we are, collective potential in a second, and then a leader esprit. But what we're trying to do is see how these things overlap. Your homework tonight and this week is going to be think about this. Think about how they overlap so that when we get together next week, we can talk a little bit about how they overlap and how you see this enlightening us. So instead of just taking a bunch of programs that the Southern Baptist Convention thinks are awesome or that the church down the street is doing or whatever, instead of doing that, what we want is to find out what fits where we are, who we are, what God wants from us, what fits us. And then let's do that. Let's be really, really good at that. And so, by the way, just as an example of doing something, if you look over on that side, permit me to point just for a second. I'm sorry, I'm pointing at some of you. You see the coats for Carver Elementary School that have come in. Those are going to be delivered this Friday. You talk about making a difference in a community. Show up at an elementary school where kids are in poverty and they don't have warm weather, and give them a coat. See that, how that impacts a community. And so these are the type things that we're doing. This Friday we're also doing another football meal here. A football team will be here, and we'll feed them and share the gospel with them and encourage them. Last Friday, I wasn't here, but Aaron was, and he did it. And he had a young man come up and just say, "Hey, will you pray for me? I'm in a bad spot." And they said there were Bibles. Some of our Gideons, they're probably not supposed to be doing this, but they are. They're bringing a bunch of worker testaments and leaving them on the table. We gave out 19 Bibles last Friday. All right, so I just want you to understand that what we're doing is probably already some of the things that we're going to do. It's already who we are, but we need to celebrate those things and do them really well. And so I just want you to know we're not talking about something abstract. We're talking about something that, you know, rubber's already meeting the road here. We're already digging in these areas. So that's our local predicament. By the way, I could have put up there, we're in the middle of a bunch of schools. We have Concord High School there, middle school there. We have 3 or 4 elementary schools out this way. We're in the middle of a bunch of schools. We have educators who are in our church. Some of you are retired, but we have educators who are in our church who have the opportunity to know how to speak those kinds of things. So I just want you to know that we're seeing all that. Yeah, Brother Jimmy? I don't know. I mean, sure, I guess. I mean, yeah, I guess there will always be, yeah, some, I mean, yeah, I would think so. If the opportunity is there and if the resources are there, yeah, we're willing, let's do it. So, yeah, I just don't want to put us on the hook for forever. But, yeah, I think so. I think it's a great idea. But here's what's going to happen. The kids at Carver are going to talk to the kids at other places, and they're going to be like, hey, we want those coats too. So we might have to get other churches to help us out doing it. But, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, all of this stuff, what you're going to see. So here's one of the difficulties, what I'm trying to keep you all from doing, but it happens to do it. What we're talking about right now is a theme or a direction that defines who we are. What we're not ready to do is yet put individual events. We're not talking about stuff. We're not talking about things to fill our calendar. We're talking about the ethos of our church, what drives us to do what we do. Those things will come out of who we are and what we do. We'll look at those things. That's why I'm using them right now as an example. I think that those speak to who we are. You understand? I think if you're going to see it in a second, so I hate to give it away early. But what you're going to see is that we are loaded down with workers here, servants. When you see this the gifts inventory, at least the latest one that I've done, or the latest array that I've done, you're going to see we are loaded down in certain areas, and that kind of speaks to who we are. I mean, we can try to do other stuff, but we ought to work where God's equipped us to work. You know, where their passion is and that kind of stuff. So we'll get to those eaches, those little things, the tasks. We'll get to the tasks once we define who we are and where we're going. So the answer is yes and no. I don't know what the Lord has for us, but yeah, I would think that'd be a part of it. So, and then this one's our collective potential. This is who we are. You see over there on the left, it says identity and passion. I'll show you on the screen in a second. And you see our spiritual gifts array. So here is our giftedness. We are filled up. I ended up right now, I have 70 responses. I have 70 people and that have done the gift survey. I've given out three more tonight, but I have 70 people that responded. The preponderance, I mean overwhelmingly, double-digit preponderance, are these people: organizers, shepherds, servers, and mercy givers. And what you have in that group are people who actually embrace difficulty. Okay, so you're either, you see chaos and you organize it, you see a need and you meet it, you see a hurt and you love on it, you see a group and you pull them together. All right, so that defines, for the most part. Now, there are some others that we have, some exhorters and we have some teachers, but they are single digits, very small number of those of us who are not one of these as our primary. And so I just throw this up there. This starts to show that what we are supposed to do more than anything is be where there's trouble, to be where there's problems, to meet needs. And by the way, if that sounds scary to you, remember, on the other side of this board, all the things you said about who we are. We are a loving group of people who want to show Jesus or emulate Jesus every day in every way. We're people who love first, who meet the needs of those who are around us. So anything that we do as a church, it has to be action-oriented. It's got to be, or else we're abandoning who God has made us to be. Does that make sense? Everybody see? I mean, this is what we're seeing, and so this is this side of the... So all of these things that we mentioned in our area that need action, well, we're the church to bring the action. I've got 15 of you right now that want to organize it, and I haven't even told you what we need to do yet. I mean, because y'all are the organizers. You're like, wait, I don't know what the problem is, but I'll put everybody in the right way. I know how to fix this thing. And so, and this is a neat opportunity to be able to see who we are and to embrace it in that way. Our resources and our identity, those two things together, ID just means identity. So our resources and identity. This facility that we have here is one of our biggest, easiest to see assets. One of the biggest resources that we have, and we're already using it. We use it every week that we have somebody come in. We use it with ABC Preschool. We use it for worship. We use it when we let the community have functions here. We use it so that we can connect with those who are in need. And so facilities, ABC Preschool, listen, there are between 25 and 35 families represented in our ABC Preschool that are here. The majority, don't miss this, the majority don't have a church home. The majority don't have a church home. Some of the numbers that you're seeing in our Awana are from our ABC Preschool. And so this is a big deal. We are doing the kingdom a disservice if we don't ever think about the ABC Preschool. They are a mission field for us. God has brought them to us. We need to be good stewards of them. All right, so this is a resource. Diversity, this was one of the words. We aren't as diverse as some places, but we have lots of diversity in different ways. Age, financial standing, education, we look like our community in those ways. We're a very diverse group. Jobs, the kind of jobs we have, those things. Financial stability, our church has no debt. Let me tell you a quick story and then I'll wrap this up. So my grandmother was bragging. She turned 100 2 weeks ago. Myra and I picked her up to take her to our family get-together. She's in our car, and she said, something happened to me. Now, my grandmother is as frugal as they come in her early life, and now she is okay, if you know what I mean. She saved then. She's okay now. She does crazy things. That's her business. That's her business. Well, somebody for her 100th birthday gave her $100, which she said, I don't need that $100. She said, I'm glad they did it, but I don't need it. She said this, I'm going to give it, or I've already given it to the building program at our church. She said, it's been my prayer that they would pay off the building before I died, but I don't think it's going to happen. And the reason why is, debt is a monster. It's a monster. And in a church, it's a terrible thing because it hampers you from doing the will of God. We don't have any debt. And that is a huge thing. We are stable financially because we don't have any debt. We're not a rich church, but we can do almost anything God calls us to do if we know He's called us to do it, because we don't have to worry, well, who's going to make the mortgage payment if we do that? That's not an issue for us. We don't have a mortgage payment. And so this is a big deal. And then family. You said brothers and sisters. You said a group. We are a family. And anybody that comes in recognizes that. Or at least, maybe not anybody, that's expansive. But everybody that I've talked to knows, hey man, it's special there. I feel loved. I feel like I belong. It's because we're a family. And then our passions, serving others, receiving people into our family. We love to go up to the front and greet new people that have come. We love to find visitors and encourage them and look at them. I mean, we like that. We love to share the gospel. We want people to come to Christ. We celebrate baptism because of what it means. And then we love meeting needs. Some of you, whoever goes on Friday to give those coats out, you're going to come back with stories and pictures of kids who are grinning from ear to ear because they've been given a coat that's brand new, and it's going to ring your bell. You're going to be, hey, look, that's pretty cool. We got to meet a need. So this is who we are. This is who God has made us to be. These are the things that we have. This is what trips our trigger, and that's our collective potential. And then finally, we talked about our apostolic spirit. I talked last week about it. This is just kind of from my perspective. We love God through authentic worship. We love others through spirit-driven service. We make disciples through seeking for and rescuing the lost. And then we mature disciples through equipping and modeling. This is kind of the stuff that when y'all called me as pastor, this is kind of the stuff that you got when you got me. This is who I am. I don't do a lot of other things, but this is what I want us to do. And so when you put all of these together, we should come up with who we are and what we're doing. First Baptist Church Concord glorifies God and makes disciples by, and then whatever it looks like. It may sound something. I'm going to say this not because this is what it's going to be, but because I want you to be able to think this way so you can think over it over a week and you can come back next week and tell me, all right? So I'm not telling you what it is. I'm going to give you a for example, right? So here's the way, just by seeing what we've said and thinking over these things. First Baptist Church Concord glorifies God and makes disciples by serving the community in order to gain a hearing for the gospel. Something like that. Okay, so we serve in order to gain. It may be, so Kirby Woods, it was Kirby Woods glorifies God and makes disciples by connecting all people to engage in the mission of Christ. And so they were a very mission-oriented church. It needed to be right there in the words, and their idea was connecting. That central idea was connecting. It may be that our central idea is serving or loving or some of those kinds of things, just all kinds of things. So that's where we'll go next week. Do you have any questions? I'm not going to go over this last part. We'll do that next week. I'll let you think about it. Is anybody surprised about who we are? You're not. No. You could see that on the other side of this board. If I were to flip this board over, it echoes everything that we've talked about for the last 12 weeks. This is who we are. We are a loving bunch of people who want people to come into community with Christ. And we'll use our identity, our drive, our talents to do that. And so I'm really excited about this. I hope you are. I hope you see what we're about to unfold, because it means that we'll be able to say no to some things that aren't really our things and say yes to a bunch of stuff that is. I heard a person who was talking about leadership this week. I was preparing for this. I'll finish with this. And what he said was, he said, our obstacles aren't our biggest problem to accomplishing our mission. Obstacles are not the biggest problem to accomplish the mission. A clear path to a different mission is what keeps us from accomplishing our mission. You'll think about that, a clear path to something else. You may have heard it this way. We can't settle for good when there's great out there. You can't settle for something that's not us when us is there. And so it's not our obstacles that keep us from doing that. It's doing everything else. And so what we need to do is streamline who we are so that we do it the way that God wants us to do. Anyway, there was more on that. Myra said, are you about done? This is what she was asking today. She goes, are you about done with all this? And I'm like, oh man, we are just getting started. This is just the beginning. And so next week, I want you to be able to come and speak to our kingdom concept, and we'll try to wrestle with that next week. I hope you're enjoying it, because I talked to the church council this last week, and I said, should I quit? Should I stop doing this and then just get a team to do the rest of it with me? And they said, no, we want to do it out in the open. We want everybody to be a part of this. We want to see what happens. And so with your permission, I'm just going to drive on with this on Wednesday nights. It's helping me as your pastor. I hope it's helping you. I hope what you really do is I hope you get a glimpse of what God has for us, and it just fires you up. I mean, where you just get super excited to see what God's going to do through us and change the face of Concord. If we're doing what God wants us to do, man, what better thing is there than that? I mean, that's accomplishment. So I'm going to pray. Choir members that way, everybody else this way. If you don't care about getting your directory tonight, you can go ahead and leave, and you can get it on Sunday, okay? So we're not just, you won't miss out, but if you want it, you may have to stand in a little bit of a line to get it, okay? But with all that said, let me pray for us, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to talk about your kingdom and how we fit in it. Lord, I pray that you would continue to show before us your plan for us. And Lord, let us run headlong into accomplishing it. Thank you for all that you've given to us. Thank you for this directory that we're about to look at, which is a visual reminder of who our family is. And Lord, I pray that you'd continue to add to that family other people who need to be loved, who want to serve you, who want to belong to such a family as ours. God, I pray that you do all these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. All right, almost. Yes, yes. All right, Miss Willeen is handling the choir, and Miss Jenny is handling everybody else. Do you just need one? Okay. Hey, Nick, you're not camouflaged anymore.
Yep.
And your mom's toting you. Oh, but which is pretty incredible.